For those who may not have known or heard of the shootings at University of Texas before what happened yesterday at UVA, give us a thumbnail sketch of what happened in your area.
Well, back in 1966, on August 1st, one of our students named Charles Joseph Whitman, who was a 25-year-old architectural engineering major, went to the top of our landmark tower. And from an observation deck 230 feet above the ground, he fired high-powered rifles for about 96 minutes and wounded about 50, shot about 50 people, about 15 of whom were killed. And up until that, up until yesterday, that was the deadliest school shooting in American history.
How did the University of Texas deal with this?
Well, there is no correct way, of course, to deal with something like this. The one thing that, and maybe it was easier to do this back in 1966, but the university came together. And it was a period of kindness and patience. It is a very, very difficult thing for an institution like Virginia Tech or the University of Texas to get over something like this, because there are so many reminders that Virginia Tech will have to deal with for at least the next 40 to 50 years.
Does anyone really ever get over it?
Well, it's easy for the people who were there, probably not. For example, the UT Tower shooting happened 40 years ago, and there are some people who are still traumatized by that. But as an institution, you know, as generations pass, the anniversaries and the memories become collectively easier to deal with.
What lessons were learned in the UT shooting?
Well, in 1966, when this happened, this was the first public mass murder in which an individual targeted strangers. And strangers he didn't know, and just shot them. And as a country, we weren't used to that kind of violence. Unfortunately, we are familiar with it now because of a number of incidents that have happened over the past, say, 10 years or so. But back in 1966, it was an unheard of, unthinkable thing. And what we learned immediately at that time was maybe there was a need, for example, for a university police department. What UT Austin had back then was really little more than a group of men who carried flashlights and spent more time issuing parking permits than providing actual security. So there was no university police to speak of that I know of anywhere at that time. And we have them now. The Austin Police Department responded in a way that showed they were completely overwhelmed. And it turns out that one person, Whitman, had better arms than the Austin Police Department. And the policemen, frankly, just didn't know what to do. And so after that, most police departments that are large enough developed special weapons and tactical teams, or SWAT. And as a result of this, SWAT teams are now commonplace, and unfortunately, they're extraordinarily useful now.
Was there any reason given for the shootings at the UT campus?
Well, you know what? It's kind of a profile of a mass murderer like Whitman and the young man who did what he did yesterday. They tend to be to themselves. What they all have in common is that in one way or another, they're very, very frustrated individuals, and in a crass way, they're losers. They end up blaming nearly everyone else for the problems that most of the time they cause themselves. And Charles Whitman, for example, had a number of real problems that no one with decency would wish upon anyone else. Those problems, though, are also very common on college campuses and in the workplace in general. The question is, you know, what should we expect people to do in order to handle the problems that they have? And, of course, murder is not an option. And but for some reason, they decide to do these things. And what they're really after is getting themselves killed. And they want to die, but they want to die in a big way. And they want to die at a time when everyone is marveling or shocked at what it is they've been able to do.
How did the university deal with people who wanted to transfer, just basically drop out of school?
Well, I'm not aware, at least in the things that I've looked at when I investigated this, that there was a huge problem of people not coming or wanting to transfer out. If that was a problem, I saw no archival evidence of it.
So you don't think that there would be a harm to future enrollment at Tech? Or will time only tell?
I just don't know. Because when you think about it, back in 1966, you know, news coverage amounted to, what, maybe a half hour to an hour a day. But today, we have 24-hour news coverage on many news channels, and so the reaction is not something that I think I can predict, but I would encourage people, you know, to remember what some people said back in 1966, that the tragedy that happened yesterday is not a function of Virginia Tech being Virginia Tech. There happened to be an individual who was willing to do a terribly evil thing, who happened to be in Blacksburg, and the uncomfortable truth is that as long as we value freedom of movement, and as long as it is a priority for us to live in a free society, we are part of the price we pay for that is every now and then somebody like this is going to do these terrible things.
Now, you've written a book on this shooting. Tell me a little bit about what it is, the title of it, and also if it gives any suggestions for how to beef up security on campuses.
The title of my book is A Sniper in the Tower, The Charles Whitman Murders. It was first published by the University of North Texas Press in hardcover, and it's one of very few academic titles that have ever been optioned by a New York house as a true crime paperback, and so it's basically a biography of Charles Whitman, who was of course the UT Tower sniper, and I look into basically his life, and what I try to do with that book is provide other professionals, psychologists, criminologists, and so forth, with the facts of this man's life. Charles Whitman is one of the most cited case studies in abnormal psychology textbooks and history books and crime books. And what I found is that a lot of what was cited, a lot of what was believed about this young man was simply wrong, simply inaccurate. He was not a nice guy. He was not an honor student. He was not a good husband, and he was not a good son. He could be really mean, and he could be violent, and he could be weird, and unfortunately, there are other people like that.
From your knowledge of the case and what little everyone knows now about what happened at Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. Do you have some advice for the Virginia Tech community?
And I'm very passionate about the advice I'm getting ready to give you. It is very, very important for Virginia Tech and the university family to remember that the person responsible for this is the young man who bought guns and who used ammunition in a thoughtful way to kill people. He is the person who is responsible for this. It is not good for people to spend energy trying to figure out who is at fault. And it is not good to wonder why is it that a university administration could not close down an entire campus in less than 2 hours. In my opinion, those kinds of discussions are good if they're conducted in a calm and thoughtful manner. I would encourage the university family at Virginia Tech to remember the obvious, that there is only one murderer here, and there is only one reason why those students are dead, and that is because a murderer picked up a gun and shot people.